Beautiful song. All right, I want you to take the Word of God just for a moment tonight to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, the Lord gave me something out of this little story we're going to look at that I think will apply to education and kids getting through, getting things completed. And I remember looking back over my education, I think of lots of lessons, lots of lectures, lots of teachers, lots of different hands involved. I remember lots of encouragement. I remember getting paddlings and detentions and all the things that go with it, losing my break, and we've had all those things. But I remember a lot of wonderful times. I remember coaches and youth directors and Sunday school teachers, people that developed me spiritually during those formative years. And, sometimes they say your childhood is something that you spend 18 years trying to get through, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to get over. And sometimes when you look back at education, you can tend to remember some of the bad moments of it and not understand the value and the treasure that are yielded out of those bad moments, those harsh moments, those testings and trials that you go through to be educated. It's definitely a daunting task, which is why it comes with so much celebration when it's completed. When a young person graduates, it's good that we celebrate that. That's a big accomplishment. When they go on and they graduate from college and go on to other things, it's good that we take time to say, well done, well done, because it's a hard thing. Being educated comes with a lot of challenges and a lot of just, it requires a lot of strength to get through it. So tonight we are saying to five of our very own, good job, well done. We know it can be hard. We see a guy going through some hard learning lessons here in this little story we're going to look at, found in Genesis 32. Pick it up with me, if you would, in verse number 24. A very familiar story, a familiar person in the Bible, one of the great patriarchs of the Jewish people, a man named Jacob. Now in verse 24 it says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now that's what Jacob says to the man that he's wrestling with there. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. That's very important there. We know the name Jacob. Who knows what that name means or what it implies? Deceiver. Jacob always had a hard time being honest. We see in his past where he cheated his brother. Remember the story? Now he sold his brother a little bowl of soup because his brother was hungry. His brother was literally starving at the point of starvation. And he sold him a bowl of soup in exchange for the birthright. Very important covenant in their family. Cheated his brother. A little bit later on, as his dad got so old and his dad was so blind and getting up in years where he just didn't have all of his mental faculties, he took advantage of that and stole his brother's, brother Esau, his twin brother, stole his birthright. So he stole his blessing and he stole his birthright. And we see that he was a man in other stories that was very capable of cheating people, deceiving people. So it was customary in biblical days, they did not name their children immediately. When a child was born, often a parent would observe their child for a while, and often they would be given a name that would reflect their character, the things they've seen in them. I'm not sure if that's what happened with Jacob, but we do know that his name was a reference to a huge character flaw that was noted in him. He was the deceiver. That was his name, the deceiver, the cheater. But we see here this man that he wrestles with that has to break him down there. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, no more is your name Jacob. Your name is Israel. That's a key name in Bible, wouldn't you say? It's a great name. Who knows what the name Israel means? Prince of God. Prince of God. So you got a name change there. He had a whole life change this night. Isn't it great how God can change a person and give them a whole new name, a whole new disposition, a whole new testimony? Now, verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Jacob was a man destined from birth to do great things. He started out, though, in a very rough way. He had some very bad characteristics that were attached to his name. He possessed some very definite flaws in his character that were in his nature, things that he was born with, things that led him to do some very bad things and hurt some people in his life. He earned a reputation for doing those things that even became attached as his name. We know in the story that Jacob had to grow up. He had to be taught some things by the hand of the Lord. In Genesis 32, we see Jacob as he is now a young man and is about to fulfill the destiny that God had born him to do. God had a plan for Jacob before Jacob was ever even born. Did you know that? God had spoke of Jacob, and God had told of Jacob, and God had a plan for his life. And we now see him as this young man ready to launch into his adult life. He's still got things to learn. And before he can fulfill this destiny, God will have to break him down so that he can bring him to a place. And there at that place God brings him to, he meets a man. The Bible just refers to him as a man. Now we know that that man was an angelic person. Of course, many theologians believe that it was Jesus in the form of a man, a Christophany. But in any case, we know that there is a man referenced here who he gets into a wrestling match with. They were in a physical altercation, a match, a fight. And this man or angel, and he had this fight until the sun rose the next morning. They spent the night wrestling. You ever spent the night wrestling with the Lord? You ever had those restless nights where you lay in bed and you wrestle with your spirit? You wrestle with the Lord's will, the Lord's call, the Lord's plan? A lot of us have had matches with the Holy Spirit where we've literally wrestled with this thing. And often we've had to have the Holy Spirit bring us to a place where he touches our thigh, brings us down to the place that we're able to be moved, able to be used. We see that God uses this man, appears to him in the night. The angel touches him on his hip. Jacob falls to the ground broken. I've always pointed out that a victory was wrought in Jacob's life that night. Jacob will be forever changed for the better. How many of you would agree with that? He comes out of this. He emerges out of this better. But in his disposition, his stubbornness, this is what it took for the Lord to be able to use him. And sometimes we fall into that category. We wrestle, we fight God, we fight the plan of God, we fight the will of God. We don't want the destiny of God's calling in our life. So often it's a wrestling match. And you notice when the man was ready to finish the match, all he did was just touch the thigh and he fell to the ground and that shrunk up. Jacob will spend the rest of his life walking on a cane. He'll limp. He'll limp. Beloved, listen to me. And young people in the room, God has a destiny for you. He's got a plan for your life. And before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. God breathed life into you. And God has a desire for you, but often we wrestle with him. And we see from Jacob, sometimes all that's going to lead to is obedience. Eventually, sometimes we get it right and follow God. Sometimes it may be obedience with a limp, evidence that we fought God and lost. Beloved, it's just so much better if you'll look for the will of God, not fight it. Get in it. Seek for it. Don't run from it. Welcome it into your life, because in that destiny, God's got something joyful for you. And God's got something peaceful for you. And God's got something that's going to bring great joy to your life. Life's always full of pain, but God has things in your life that he wants to do through you and with you. And if you don't fight it, if you don't run from it, it can be a wonderful thing. Jacob had to be broken that night. And in this story, Jacob emerges broken but better. He goes from there to become a great man and the father of a great family, which will eventually become the names that make up the Hebrew nation and the tribes of Israel. How many of you are familiar with the story of Jacob? Started with Abraham, then there was Isaac, and then we see Jacob and Esau, and we see Jacob as the leader, and he ends up having all these sons. It's a beautiful story. Now we noted that he names the place where this took place. He names this place Peniel, and the word means face of God. If you want to write that down, the place that he has this altercation with this man or this angel, he names it face of God, because there is where he met God face to face, and he lived to tell about it. This place was a special place to him. It's a place where he met God, and God performed a great improvement in his life. It was a hard place. It was a place where he spent the night wrestling, not relaxing. He spent the night fighting, not resorting. But when it was all said and done and all the dust settled, he had a new name. He had a new lease on life. He had a new purpose. He had a new disposition. This young man that had gone around hurting people and cheating people everywhere he went, immediately starts getting with the people. The very next chapter, he starts getting his life straightened out. He goes back to Esau, his brother that he twice cheated, and he gets it right with him. And they bury that hatchet. They become brothers again, and they have peace. Then he gets with his father-in-law, whom he had cheated, who cheated him too, but they were two peas in a pod. Well, he gets with his father-in-law, and he made things right. I've always said this, it's impossible to be right with God and be wrong with everybody in your life. We have to get right with people in our life and as part of the process of getting right with God. When he got right with God, he immediately sought peace with people that he had wronged in his life. And we see that. He left this place improved, but it was a hard place, where a hard lesson had to be taught by a very hard teacher. It was a permanent life lesson as he limped away from that place. But he limped away changed, and not only in his physical appearance, but his name was changed, his life was changed, his purpose was changed, his future was changed. Now I want to bring these quick three thoughts out for your consideration as we're thinking about five precious lives fixing to set out on the journey of their life. You just finished a long course, man. Sometimes whenever you're thinking about eternity, you think about your years in school, you can kind of understand what eternity may feel like. It just feels like school will never get over when you're in school. Now when you're done, it seems like it was just in a blink. But some of you kids that are in 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you got any 9th graders in the room? Or 10th graders? Jonah, it feels like you're never going to get done, doesn't it? Feels like never going to get done. Now, one day you'll look back and say, man, that was short. But right now, it just feels oh so long. It just feels like it's never going to get done. The reality is, man, it is 13 years from kindergarten and sometimes K-4 all the way to 12th grade. That is a lot of time spent just being prepared, just being taught, being led, being trained, often being broken down. Sometimes going into a principal's office and limping out, so to speak. Going into a teacher's office and limping out. Spending all night long wrestling with trying to learn. There were a lot of those nights. Now I want to bring this out as we're thinking about these five young people and others that will follow them. Number one, we see in the story of Jacob, we all start off pretty rough. Jacob became a great man, but how many of you would agree he started off rough? He was a work in progress. You know, beloved, we all have some bad habits. We all are full of ignorance, unlearned. We all have bad natures in us at birth. Things that left alone can define us and sometimes deride us if not fixed. And that's the purpose of education, to take where we are weak and make us strong. Educators take a child who's ignorant and they fill that blank space with wisdom and knowledge. And spiritual leaders take that child who's got flaws, character issues, and things that they were born with. They got it, honestly. It's a part of that sin nature. But yet, they try to develop that out of them and help them bring those things up. And we all start off pretty rough, like Jacob. Jacob had some rough points. And these rough things lead us to some bad moments in our life. Jacob had some bad moments, some things that if they gather around the family fire, they would say, "Hey, Dad, tell about the time you cheated our uncle." He'd say, "We don't want to talk about that." Amen. Not one of my finest moments. Something I want to forget about, but they were definitely a part of his history. And it's been recorded in the Bible for all eternity. Not a good moment for him when he cheated his dad, pretended to be his brother, when he sold his starving brother a bowl of soup for his entire inheritance and took advantage of him because his brother thought he was going to die. Not a good moment. And you know, all of us adults in the room, we know about it. We've had some not so good moments in our life. Moments that we wish we had a big eraser. Yeah. Moments that if we could get in a little Michael J. Fox time machine, a DeLorean, and go back in time, we'd go back and change that day. We would do it better because we've got more character now. We would do it better because we possess more wisdom. We'd do it better because we have more knowledge. We'd do it better because we just know better. Sometimes in childhood, we're dealing with our natural self, and sometimes it's an undeveloped natural self. And educators are developers. So therefore, you go through school, you get disciplines, you get lectures, you get sometimes, some cases, some bad memories. Man, I have some bad memories from my educational years. Getting paddlings, getting lectures. Man, sometimes those teachers could be so brutal, and they hurt your fragile image of yourself. And sometimes they have to bust that image down, because when you're 12, 13, 14, you think you know everything. Teachers, have you ever found that to be true? Parents in the room, have you ever found out that your 13-year-old thinks they know everything? I had a sign in my office when I was a youth leader that said, "Quick, hire a teenager while they still know everything." And you really do think you know a lot. You really do. And you look at your parents sometimes during those years and you think they're not that smart. You think they're stupid. And your dad tries to tell you something and you roll your eyes and huff and puff. And your teacher tries to tell you something and you huff and puff. Your youth leader tries to tell you something for your own good and you huff and puff. Well, I'm glad I got to live long enough to realize how smart my dad really is. I didn't see it at 13 or 14 or 15. Well, I'm glad he's lived long enough and I've lived long enough to appreciate my dad, and I'm glad I lived long enough to appreciate the men and women that were in my life as I grew up in a Christian home and a Christian school and a Christian church. Because like many teenagers, I had times that I misunderstood it. Their attempts to touch my thigh, I thought they were just hateful people, angry people. But I see that sometimes I had to be broken down to be made better. I see that. I hear people all the time sit and talk about their education years with great bitterness and anger and resentment. And I see kids get on Facebook and they write things about the schools they attended and teachers that tried to help them. And they'll say horrible things. And often it was simply the man that God put in your life at a certain place that was there to help you, as the man helped Jacob that night. But we all start out pretty rough, and all of us go through this in our human nature. Therefore, we need education. Somebody say amen. Is that true? Have you found that to be true? Young people, you've got some rough edges, but God provides people, as he did with Jacob, people that are there to help you be a better person. But it's not an easy thing. Sometimes it's a hard thing. Sometimes it comes with a wrestling match. a wrestling match of wills and a battle of wills here. Sometimes you limped away from it, but God can take that and make you a better person. That's what God's intent is. We see here thought number two, God will take us to places where his angels, so to speak, will meet us and wrestle with us. Jacob was brought to this place where this man meets him there. This man was an agent of God. Now, whether it was Jesus or an angel, we know this for a fact. It was a person there in the power and purpose of God. Can we say amen to that? It was a person there that was there to do a work of God in Jacob's life. God's going to place people in your life and places like schools, and youth groups, churches, Sunday school, church camps, ball teams, all these people, people like parents and teachers, pastors, coaches, ministers of different sorts. And they're going to have to break you down sometimes and wrestle with your rebellious and sometimes foolish spirit. But when they perform their works, you'll leave them better people, improved and ready to do what is your destiny in the plan of God. And God has a destiny for each of us. God has a plan for all of us, but he has to often break us before he can make us. These first 18 years of your life have come with many men, so to speak, people that are agents of God that are going to break you down. But the results are to help you do what God made you to do. Preparation always precedes prosperity. Abraham Lincoln made the statement that if he was told to cut logs, he would spend the first hour sharpening the axes. You all spend a lot of time sharpening the axes, being ground down and polished through education, and hopefully now you're ready to get out there and chop down some logs, so to speak. Now, lastly, last thought that comes out of this, just as Jacob did in this story, we will all have penals in our life, that place where you meet God, places where God will send you to break you down and prepare you, places that can be hard places sometimes. For me, I remember Bible college being a place that was sometimes a very hard place, but God provided people there that helped prepare me and to shape me and sometimes break me down when I needed it. It's hard to have someone set you down and tell you something about yourself that's unflattering. But I had teachers that did that. I had teachers that would say, you have this talent, but you have this problem. And man, it's hard to hear it. It's hard to hear it. And those places are places in our life that can come with some hard memories. Places where lots of wrestling matches took place. Lots of breaking down took place. And you leave these places forever changed for the better, hopefully. Young people, I don't know what God has for you, you five seniors. My hope is that God allows you to be here at Town East Baptist Church, to become a part of our adult family, to help train and teach others, to give back what was given to you. And my hope is that your education spiritually will continue and that you will stay under spiritual development, allowing not only myself, but other spiritual developers to take you on down the trail. There's still much to learn. And there are still many things that you can gather from being here. But I hope that as you look back to the schools you attended, there'll be some moments there that are very special, places that you had a meeting with God moment. Maybe it was at a church camp that Brother Paul took you to during the summer. And you go back to that moment, that night, where you were wrestling with God and God broke your spirit. Maybe it was at a retreat. Maybe it was in a school chapel. Maybe it was in a locker room where a coach said something to you that grabbed you and broke your spirit and you said, he's right. He's right. Those moments, those places where you had a stand before God, meet God face to face moment. Don't forget those moments. Don't forget what has been used to bring you to where you are now. The lessons, the lectures, the long journey it took to get you where you are. Don't leave it all in the past and forget about it. Stay close to God and remember the penals and people, that penile, that place where he said, I met God today. I met God. I saw God face to face. Don't forget those places. Don't forget them. And don't forget the man that God has used in your life. When I say man, I'm using it in a Bible sense. the person that God used in your life to bring you to where you're at. Let it help you emerge not broken, but better and able to perform the destiny God has designed for you. Now, that's a word that I wanted to say to these five seniors tonight. As you move forward, don't forget these special places and people in your life. Revisit them. Think about them often. Stay close to the Lord. Your education doesn't stop because you get a diploma. You're going to be learning all the way till the end of your life. Adults in the room, you have those places and those people. Don't ever forget them. Revisit them often. Go back in your mind to that place where God got a hold of your heart, where God broke you down. Appreciate those places and appreciate those people because they're there to make you better, not bitter. They're there not to break you, although sometimes you walk away broken, but you walk away better. You will walk away better because of the schools you attended and the people who worked in them. And I believe that. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Is there anyone that could say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I do know that I'd like to be saved"? Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. "Preacher, I do not know that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I know that I'd like to." Amen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I do, it's Sunday night. Many of you have got prayer needs, and there's power in prayer. When I ask you to stand, it's my hope that you'll come forward. Spend a moment talking with the Lord before you get out to your busy week this week. Launch out full of the power of God. Seek His name. Seek His help. Dear Father, I pray that you'll hear our prayers as there will be prayers offered up to you. Lord, I pray that this little thought I gave tonight will be remembered for all of us. We've all had those penile places in our life. Places that were hard places, places that we had a come to meeting with God place, where you had to break us down. But we left those places better if we allowed it to happen. Even though we limped away, we became improved people. And education has many of those places in it. Let us remember the cause and the good in it. Go forward, better people. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. The altars are open. Come on up here. When you're done praying, we'll move to the end of the service. You come, you come.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior.
There you go.
Hear